All right, let's get into the word. Acts. Ninth chapter. Starting at the 18th verse. It says in Acts 9:18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul, certain days with the disciples, was with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem? Am I in the right? Yes. Called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?
Yeah.
But Saul, say this with me, increased the more in strength. Say it again. Increased the more in strength. One more time. Increased the more in strength. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Indeed Christ. Amen. I want to speak to you today from the title, Increase in Service. Increase in Service. Amen. Increase in Service. Amen. Let's go to the 20th verse. Just a little brief review again. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And in verse 21 says, but all that heard him were amazed, perplexed. They were, remember that word amazed means to be displaced. They were amazed. They were confused, thrown out of, you know, their comfort zone, and said, is not this he that destroyed them?
No.
That word destroyed means killed them.
Yeah.
To utterly destroy. Is this not he that destroyed them which called on his name or this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? People could not believe that the man who was killing and persecuting Christians was now going to the synagogues and preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. No one expected this. Saul, as we said before, is the enemy of the church. Amen. And now he is joining the church. He doesn't start off street preaching. He goes straight to the Jewish synagogue while they're in the middle of having religious service and ceremony and tells them that they've got it all wrong. That's another level of boldness. It's one thing to talk to the people out there. It's another thing to go in and say, wait a minute, stop. Before you take your offering, before you do everything else, I got something to say.
Yeah.
Y'all all wrong.
That's what he said.
That's another level of boldness. Amen. Isn't this the guy that used to do this or that? Isn't this the same one? Isn't that Jamie or so and so that was hanging with them and those? Huh? Isn't this the same person before that we've heard so much about? You have a reputation. Amen. We know you, and what we know of you is not good. Aren't you that sister that we used to see?
Yes, I was.
Doing this and that? How dare you come up here telling all of us that we're wrong?
My.
Who do you think you are? We know you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when God gets a hold of you, he has a way of taking your reputation and changing it into a story for his glory.
Yeah.
Amen. And then it doesn't stop there, people. setting you on a course that nobody, including you, yourself, if ever expected.
Nobody.
Giving you a new sense of purpose, a new direction. And not only that, God has the power to cause you to be faithful in that new direction. He can empower you to be faithful in whatever he's called you to. I need you to know that.
He will.
You continue in that direction. Some people get saved. Get started working for God. And then quit working for God.
Yeah, they do.
Some people get saved and never start working for God and sit.
Yeah, only do nothing.
They quit and they just sit. While others get saved and they run for Jesus for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yes.
You know what Saul, who became Paul, did? Have you read the New Testament? This man was on fire for God.
Yes, he was.
Amen? This is what happens when you come face to face with the truth of who Jesus really is. Amen? Teaching very simple today. He is God. He is King. Whether I don't care what you think and what they told you and what they try to unteach you in schools. And the truth of the matter is somebody is responsible for all of this. This is not some accident. And Jesus said in him all things consist. That means he's holding things together. Things are maintained in their proper order without chaos because Jesus holds it all together. He's creating it. He is Lord. He is King. You serve God because you know who he is. But you also serve God because you love him.
Thank you.
I love Jesus. Huh? You love Jesus? Huh? You love Jesus? You serve Jesus because you love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. On the Damascus Road, the light of Christ, the glory of Christ, shined and blinded Saul. Then in Damascus, Saul is waiting for 3 days for a man named Ananias, as we know, to heal him and recover his sight. And the Bible says that something like or as if scales fell from his eyes. Okay, it's not literally some kind of fish scales or something like that falls from your eyes, but there was something spiritual that was happening here.
Yeah.
Amen. What was it? What happened? Well, let's go back. 9:17, Acts 9:17 and 18. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. Help me, Holy Spirit. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 18 says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And what happened? And he received sight forthwith, immediately, and arose and was what? Baptized. Remember that, right? He started making it happen. This is a spiritual transformation. This is a picture of what happens with the believer when you run into Christ.
Yes.
What you thought you knew, you don't know anymore.
Oh, no.
What you thought you could see, as I explained before, you can't see. You realize that what you thought you were able to see.
Yeah.
Not realizing that all your life you couldn't see nothing.
Amen?
When you regain your sight, hear me, people. I got to say this carefully. You regain your God-given purpose.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't just regain visual information outside of yourself where you see things in a new way. You also regain information or inside yourself where you see yourself in a new way. I'm going to say that again. You also see inside yourself. You see yourself in a new way. It's not just I'm looking at this world and this world is crazy. It's also looking at yourself saying, ooh, I've been crazy.
Now, that's right. That's what you see.
Ooh, this stuff is out here. It's a mess. Ooh, I've been a mess. You see what's happening?
Yeah.
I can see and point the finger, but eventually I have to see and point and look in the mirror. I can see my purpose now. What have I been doing all along? Huh? You regain God's intention for your life. Thank you, Lord. And then what happens? What we see with Saul. Then you get busy doing what you should have been doing in the first place.
Yeah, and then be excited about it.
Uh-huh. You get busy doing what God always intended you to do. As a believer, the last thing I want to do is waste God's time. I don't want to allow the things that could get into my life to sap all of my energy to the point to where, as I said before, I have nothing left for God. Mm-hmm. God empowers the believer to serve him. I hope you're hearing me this morning. Simple message. And then that empowerment continues. Because once the Holy Spirit gets in you, he doesn't get out. So when you see certain people, I hear about mothers who get saved and they go on crusades and evangelism exploits and they never stop. They never stop. Clear on into their retirement. They're still talking about Jesus. Still serving. Amen. This is what I do. Okay. So this power, help me, Holy Spirit. The power causes you and enables you to do what God has called you to do. There's this supernatural energy that abides within you now. And that energy remains. And say with me, it continues. It continues. Acts 9:22. Next verse says this. But Saul increased the more in strength. Ooh. When you get saved, your service to God ought to increase, not decrease. Let's back up. Somewhere between verse 21 and 22, when you look in Galatians, the first chapter, you will see a more vivid description, more thorough description of what happened, because Saul goes over to Arabia for 3 years. Now watch this. Saul gets saved on the Damascus Road, and instantly he starts preaching. He doesn't wait before he's trained to start preaching. We talked about that last Sunday. Okay? All right? But then in Galatians, we see where he spent 3 years preparing for his ministry. Okay? I start preaching instantly because I'm saved. I am excited. I can't help it. But then I also know I need to be prepared. Okay? So Saul spends 3 years preparing for ministry, but all the time he's still, watch this, preaching, still growing, getting stronger and stronger, increasing, becoming more and more faithful over what God has called him to do. His service to God increases, not decreases. He was empowered by God to do more and more and more, not less and less and less. Woo! Preaching, he kept teaching, he kept serving, he kept learning. Amen. He kept growing. Huh? You keep, it ought to increase. Listen, let me explain something to you. You don't go to the gym the first time and then come out with a six pack.
No, you don't.
Oh no. Oh no.
You're not just going. No. That's not what happens. All right. That's not what happens. Everybody in here would be chiseled if that was the case. We come to church like, that's not what happens. Uh-huh. But if you keep pressing, if you stay consistent, if you keep going, you will look up one day and you will notice transformation over time. So it's very key that you don't get discouraged in the beginning.
Right.
Because that's what happens. We get discouraged. We don't see any changes. And then we go right back out and get a piece of fried chicken and call it a day.
No.
Same thing in ministry. I don't know how much I'm changing. But think about it. How much have you changed over 20 years? How many people have seen God do some transformation in them over time? What happened? You remain consistent. I just keep walking with him. I keep walking with him. Keep walking. Okay, stop right here. Okay. All right. Wait on the Lord. Be a good courage. You will strengthen your heart. All right. Here we go. Keep walking. Keep walking. Day by day, I'm denying myself. I'm changing. I'm being transformed. Not just in my personal life, people, but in service.
Now, in service. This is good.
In service. Amen. God honors faithfulness. You will see results.
Yeah, there is.
Amen. So he increased in strength. Are you sure that's what's happening? Let's make sure that we are in line with the rest of the Bible. Give me Job 17 and 9. I love this. Job 17 and 9. The righteous keep moving forward. And those with clean hands become what? Stronger and stronger. You seeing that? Isaiah 40, 29. I didn't make this up. Okay? Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he what? Increaseth strength. I'm empowered to do this. Amen? From the Holy Ghost. From the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 1, 12. 1 Timothy 1 and 12. And I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, empowered me, right? For that he counted me what? Faithful. Doing what? Putting me into ministry. You see this? That's what you're here for. And God gives you the power and consistency. To carry out his purposes. And you get stronger and stronger in that and stronger in that. That's why some of them old mothers can pray all night. What happened? They started like with a 2-second prayer. Jesus wept. And then they moved on. You know what I'm saying? They get stronger and stronger in that. Amen? Genesis. I love this. Genesis 49:24. Talking about the righteous. But his bow remained taut. T-A-U-T. Taut. That means stretched. Pulled tight. It is the opposite of flabby and slapped. I'm ready. I stay ready. I'm understanding what kind of enemy we're dealing with. I'm understanding my purpose. I understand what I'm here to do. I'm not slack in my service to God. I'm not slack in my prayer life. I'm not slack in my obedience and my yes to God. What? It's an arrow that's pulled. Because unless it's pulled back and tight, you can't get nothing going on. Nothing's happening. Amen? Tight. His arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. When God saves you, people, watch this. You ready? God gives you a gift.
He does.
Saul got saved. What's his gift? He was talking about folks and persecuting folks. What do you do? God flipped it. Now you talk for me. When you get saved, what happened? Jesus came. He descended. He gave gifts. Did he not? To men, Did he not? Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. You see these gifts. When you get saved, you get a gift. There's some way in which Jesus plans to use you.
Yes, and he will. Ooh.
Guess what? You got a gift.
Now.
You do. You saved, you get a gift. Salvation does not come without gifts. Impossible. Think about it. Okay? Your salvation comes with some kind of ministry-oriented job attached to it. It's impossible for that not to happen. Okay? All right? There's some kind of ministry job-oriented job attached to it. If you started serving in the church, what will happen? What will happen? Your service level... good class. I love it when people in the church are smart. I'm telling you, it increases. Amen. It increases your devotion level. Increases your desire to serve the kingdom. Increases you increase for to serve the kingdom. You increase to serve in your local assembly that you've been assigned to.
That's right. Oh, thank you.
serious. I'm tired. I don't feel like. Mm-mm.
No, say now.
I'm in this church 20 years. I ain't got no.
No. Increase.
Let them young people do. No. That's not it.
In spite of the
nation. Uh-huh. Your desire to serve the kingdom increases. Your desire to serve in the local church that you've been planted in increases.
Amen.
You will not serve God like you serve the other folks that give you a check every month. Where at first, when you finally got the job that you prayed for, you were happy with your boss. You were on time every single day. You went to every meeting with enthusiasm. But after a while, as we get comfortable and a little time passes, you start working like you're already retired. Calling in on specific days like Mondays and Fridays. I don't know what's happening. I'm just not going to make it. I said I was going to be there, but I don't know. It's been that kind of week. How many 6 days I got? How many? Tie those up right quick. I'm on my way out. You don't work for God like you work for them. And can I be honest with you? If you're trying to represent Jesus on your job, you shouldn't let Jesus look any kind of way on your job. That's another message. The faithfulness all around. Oh, you a Christian? Man, this Buddhist is outworking you. That should not be the case. Huh? That should not be the case. But in your service to God and the local church that you're assigned to, your faithfulness and power to do what he's called to do, again, will increase. Amen. Now, if you are decreasing or you never got started, you should examine your heart.
That's right.
Because something's not right.
That's right.
Amen. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're just discouraged. Maybe you don't know what to do. Amen. Maybe you don't know how much you're needed. That's a big place. That's a big issue. Maybe you have the wrong perspective on how important your gift is. I'm going to go somewhere and I'll just show you something. And I want you to notice something here. Give me 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read a little bit here, and I just want you to follow along and let the Lord speak to you as this is being read. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Interesting. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that, watch this, should not be seen. Underline that. Be seen. That's very important. Verse 24. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less. Not seen. Amen. This makes for harmony among the members of the body, right? So that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. Verse 27, all of you together are what? Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. Amen? Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, our apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. And I can hear just people saying, yes. Then those who do the miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have gifts of leadership. Those who speak in unknown tongues or unknown languages. Amen. Now, most of these gifts are gifts that I've seen most people put on display in the church.
They are.
Mm-hmm. These are gifts that cause folks to be seen. Mm. Interesting. But not everyone has a gift that is going to be seen by the masses.
This is true.
And not everybody can do the same thing. We don't have the same gifts. Everybody, if everybody's a pastor, where's the rest of the church? Huh? Verse 29 says this. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. Notice he left something out. And in verse 31, he gives us a little clue. I never saw this before, but this hit me like a ton of bricks. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful, interesting, helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way that is best of all. And he goes into the 13th chapter of Corinthians, which speaks about love. We don't always need someone to do a miracle. We don't even always need somebody to come in here and, you know, figure out some language. Speak in another language that most of us will not understand. Huh? Hmm?
We got a specific kind.
Yes. But in the church, there's always people that need help.
That's true. That's true.
Did you notice he said the most helpful gifts? And you notice most folks are saying, I'm trying to be a prophet. I'm trying to be. I'm trying my best to be the pastor. I'm trying my best to evangelist so-and-so. Call me evangelist from now on. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much. I'm elder so-and-so. Not many people going around saying, I'm helper. You don't hear that all the time, do you? Notice that? Come on, somebody. You notice that? In all your church history, has anybody walked in? I am the helper.
No,
but deacon so-and-so and elder so-and-so and pastor so-and-so and apostle so-and-so and especially evangelist and, you know, I have the gift of healing. I just want to let you know that. I didn't ask you, but I want to tell you that.
So didn't ask. Oh.
You didn't ask, but I want to tell you. That's my gift. Everyone.
Good word, Pastor.
Everyone that comes in the door needs some kind of help on a consistent basis. Never needed anybody to come in the church since we've been going for 6 years now. I've never had anybody come in and say, there's someone speaking Chinese in the back. I need you to figure this out. There's no one come up with the mic and spoke in German and just gave a word in German. And somebody needed to interpret that. That's not happened. But everybody needs help. I can't get out this church without somebody asking me to pray for them for something.
Every Sunday.
Or I need this. I need help in this area. The gift of helps. Interesting. Interesting. What can I do, Pastor? Help!
Yeah.
Notice this in Acts, the 9th chapter, going back up, 10th and 11th verse. This is very interesting. It says this. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Ananias says, yes, Lord, he replied. And the Lord said, go over the straight. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. Now, most folks would focus on Ananias. Most folks would focus on Saul. Did you notice a third name there? Did we read right past it? The house of who? Judas. Did you even see it? Isn't that interesting? Because I didn't focus on it at first. I was like, where's the healer? Let's deal with him. Where's Saul, who's about to be the great evangelist, the great teacher? Who was Judas? What? Just to the house of Judas. And it just went over our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. Don't read over that too fast. We focus on Ananias because he has the ability or the gift of healing to make someone see again.
Right.
And that's important. But who was Judas? Who was Judas? Is he insignificant? Somebody getting this?
Yes, yes.
Huh? Jesus told Saul to go to Damascus. But where's Saul going to stay when he's in Damascus?
The house of Judas.
The house of Judas. While Saul is waiting on his healing from the healer who's coming through the door, Saul needs some place to stay. He's there 3 days. That's right. Surely Jesus did not set it up for Saul, who was blind, to just end up on the streets of Damascus for 3 days, huh? Had he sent him to Oakland, he wouldn't have made it into ministry. A blind man on the street for 3 days, looking like Saul was looking. On International Boulevard. He won't make it. He wouldn't have made it into ministry. There'd be no record of Saul. He went to Damascus, and we never saw him again. He was in Oakland, and something just didn't happen. Somebody had to help him. He needed a place to stay. So Jesus planted a believer with the gift of helps. Do you see this? But we want to look at the person who has the power to heal and lay hands on folks. But wait a minute. What about Jesus? Do you need something? Can I help you? Is your gift of help increasing? So Jesus planted that believer. Before Saul gets his healing and launches into ministry, somebody was there to just help him. Do you hear this, people? Some people will be sent to this church and they will need healing. And while they're waiting for the miraculous to happen in their lives, I wonder if there's any planted helpers in this church. I wonder if there's someone here who has the gift of helps. While you're waiting, I wonder if there's people planted here to help somebody, I have the ministry to just help you. Whatever I have, I can help you with it. Whatever. Is there anything I can do? And I know I don't have a very showy gift. Nobody may even know that I'm doing this for you. I won't get up before the people and put it on display. I won't get up before the people and you won't see me do anything most wonderful. No one gets tickets for me to do what I do. They're not going to book me next to Marvin Sapp and Fred Hammond and say they're also featuring the helper. No. I'm not opening up for them. You know what I'm saying? They're big names and I'm just a helper. That's all I am. But it's a gift. And he said, desire the gifts that are most helpful. Isn't that interesting? Or have we missed it? Do we have our eye on the wrong things? I'm glad you can do miracles all over town, prophetess. And then you can raise the dead and heal the sick. I'm happy about that. But I just need a ride to church. Can you give me a ride? On your way to laying hands all over Oakland, can you give me a ride to church? Are you too deep to give a brother a ride?
Pass right by you.
Woo! I saw what you did in front of all those people, and he got up and he started walking. We ain't seen him walk in 40 years. Can I get a ride? I need a ride. I just need some food. Me and the kids are hungry. I lost my job. Do you have any information for me? Where, you know, maybe you know somebody that can help me. Are you too busy? Are you on your way? Or can you stop and help me? Is the gifts of help insignificant? Are we increasing in that area? Are we helping people? I don't have any clothes to wear to church. I got a few suits and they all went bad, and I just need some new suits. And maybe your old suit will be new to me. Them slacks that you're about to give away, maybe I need a few of those. The outfit I used to wear is not going to be something I feel comfortable wearing to church. I wonder if some sister in here can help me out. Can't wear that to church. It'll be a mess.
Not that one.
Mm-hmm. Can somebody help me? Or are you just too busy desiring to speak in other languages and lay hands on folks? Can you lay hands on $5? Can you help me? and then lay that $5 in my hand? You know what I'm saying? I just need some help. Saul is in the middle of Oakland blind for 3 days. He needs some place to stay. You see what I'm saying? Before Ananias gets there, before you get your miracle, sometimes I might need to assist you to your miracle.
That's right.
And God plants people there with the heart and the compassion and notice and say, I think you need help.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Did you even notice? Is that important to it? Is that a significant gift? I have this online theologian called GodQuestions.org. And they say that the Greek word translated helps in 1 Corinthians 12:28 is found only there in the New Testament. Therefore, the exact meaning of this gift of helps is somewhat obscure. But then they say this. I love this. The word translated helps means literally to relieve. Wow. To succor. To participate in. To support. Ain't that right, Sister Brittany? To support. Those with the gifts of help are those who can aid and render assistance to people in the church. Or you could render assistance to the church auxiliaries, in the administration of the church. And you do this with compassion and grace. This gift has a broad range of applications. Helping individuals, helping the church that you've been sent to. Some people get saved, work and quit. Some people get saved and sit.
Yeah, they just stand.
See it? All right. Maybe you can help people in the church who have been serving faithfully for 6 years. Maybe they need someone to get on their team before they get totally worn out. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Well, maybe you get here early and see what's already being done. Maybe you ask if they need extra team members. Maybe we set up a rotation so the departments and ministries are strong and well-staffed. You know what Ford did? He set up an assembly line.
That's what he did.
It was ingenious. Henry Ford did it. He was producing cars faster than everybody. What did he do? He was like, my job is just to put this screw on. The next person, my job is to turn the screw. My job is to hammer this in. My job is to put the paint on afterwards. And then before you know it, car was made. And he was... He put thousands of people to work.
Yes, he did.
Purpose-minded. Simple. Maybe no, but not everybody was the executive. Not everybody was on the board. Not everybody was a lawyer for the company. But if the people didn't help, guess what happens to the executive? Guess what the lawyer ain't gonna get? No money. Because we ain't producing nothing. We do this why? So that when the many souls that are coming to this church that God promised me, and I know they're coming, when they get to this church, we don't fall apart because there's only one faithful person doing the work.
I'm telling you.
Did you hear what I just said? It's very simple. I said in the beginning, God is an investor. Well, Pastor, tell me what to do. Look around. Look around. I want to be an evangelist. I want to go all over the country. What happens with the person that wants to do that? What the first thing that they do is they start evangelizing on... Before anybody calls. You know, my dad used to always say this. Everybody's fighting over a Walter Hawkins solo on an album. I want to sing the solo. And he had a choir full of folks wanting to sing the solo. And he told everybody, he said, when you're serious, you go sing in a convalescent home.
That's right. Yes, he did say it.
You can go platinum in the convalescent home. Everybody wants to hear you sing. Why are you trying to get the mic so much? Go sing next to that person that ain't seen their family in 3 years. They're sick and nobody comes to see them. And they're waiting on you. They're waiting for somebody to come put on a concert for them. Waiting. Think about it. You look for the opportunity. Can I help? Can I? I'm telling you, people, don't get it twisted. Don't look at what you see here. Something's coming. Something's coming. I feel it. I know it. Because What? I'm increasing. He's causing me to stay faithful. How about you? How about you? Huh? What is this? This is training ground. Huh? What is this? I keep going even when it don't look like I should be going. I'm just going. I don't know why. And one day you go, oh, now I see why we kept going.
My God. Thank you.
We can't all be healers.
No, we're not.
We can't all be preachers. We can't all speak in unknown tongues. Huh? Give me the mic. I got something to say to the Lord. I got something to say to the church. Y'all need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Did he tell you we need some help? Is that the word he gave you? When is thus saith the Lord? Give them some help, starting with you.
Yeah.
Prophet. And don't forget this part. Get saved. You get busy. You see how Saul got busy. He got to have. What can I do? What can I do? And he increased in this. 3 years and running. He comes back to Damascus. He's amazing people. He's increased. He didn't stop. He kept going. He was faithful. He didn't get saved and gradually decrease and stop working for the Lord. You see, that's what happens sometimes in the church. We get discouraged. The devil is a lie. The Lord said, get up and run, Jamie. Get up and run. You don't know what's going to happen. It can happen tomorrow. Get up and run.
Huh?
You stay ready. Stay faithful. Before I was put in the pastor situation and called into ministry, I used to I used to start off as a keyboard, but the truth is I started off as a drummer. Me and little Teray, carrying snares and sticks and our hands. Little kids, Jamie's age. I'm on there, just going for it. Playing the drums with all my heart. Huh? Not a board member. Joel, my cousin, was a phenomenal, famous drummer, going on tour. You know, sometimes he couldn't make it. I'll play. I see a need.
Yeah.
I'll play. Put the boy on the drums. See what we can do. Okay, all right, cool. You can play. You know, I would get up and play. But I had to take it seriously. Huh? I took it very seriously. I had to be a faithful drummer. I'm teaching simply today, okay? Uh-huh. I was faithful to it. I remember when I decided to play for my auntie's church at one time. I had to ride my bike to church to get my legs stronger. You know what I'm saying? I had to increase in strength. Because my legs were weak. I was skinny, like my son Jamie. We're just skinny guys, you know? We don't have a whole lot going on. Well, not anymore. But I kind of picked up a little bit. But you know, I would ride my bike and get stronger and stronger and build up my legs and my stamina. Why? Because my aunt Bishop Pastor Rains would preach for hours. And then she would stand up and say, we're going to pray for the whole entire church.
Nah.
Y'all sing something. God is good. God, yes, he is. And so I'm playing the drums while I'm watching everybody from the balcony come down. And we didn't stop. It's one by one. And she's praying for folks. She's laying out folks all over. There's dead bodies all over the altar. Just laying everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there looking while I'm playing. I'm getting tired. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing. But I had to increase my stamina because I had to stay up. Huh? Because nobody cared about the drummer. Everybody's just trying to get their healing. And I'm looking at folks like, weren't you in line last week? When you don't get delivered? You know, I'm getting tired. Nobody gave me no Gatorade. Nobody gave me no water. Look at. I'm tired. And she's like, And you go to church, you fall asleep on the altar for 20 minutes, get back up and do the same thing next week. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Get delivered. I'm tired. You're wearing me out.
We got through it.
Old school church. That's how they should do it. We're going to pray for everybody. Close the doors. Everybody. Nobody's leaving.
Nah.
And the drummer's just.
We tear it all night. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, all night long. Nobody gave me no water.
Nobody left.
We care.
I'm tired. But I took it seriously. And when I saw I was getting tired, I said, I need to get on. I need to exercise. Because I'm not going to make it. This church ain't going to kill me. I had to get serious. I increased in stamina. I kept going. I got better and better at what I was doing. Are you seeing what's happening? Huh? I noticed that God, that was a small position, but I've noticed that God tends to promote those that are already faithful doing little things.
He really does.
Huh? Somebody's got to do the dirty work first. Somebody, before we get up and we become increasing theologians, maybe we need you to clean the toilets first. Oh, I remember being over in the Assembly Angel Hall. I got to clean the toilet. They're coming in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Huh? Come on, we're not above it. Somebody does the dirty work first. Well, I just clean the toilets in church. I'm not mother so and so. I don't do big things. Maybe all you do is offer Mother Shirley a ride to church. Maybe,
now,
huh?
Now.
Huh? God sees that.
Yes, he does.
Huh? He sees that. He rewards that.
Yes.
Huh? Hey, maybe I just count. Look, I'm not in front. I just count the offering in the back when no one sees me.
Now.
Huh? Nobody notices that I'm serving except for the offering team. Nobody pats me on the back. I've been doing this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I don't decrease, I increase.
That's right.
My service to the Lord. Why? Because I cannot believe he did this for me. What did Saul say? What would you have me to do?
That's what he asked. Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Go to Damascus, I'll tell you what you should do. Huh? Helpers. Huh? Increasing in service. Huh? Don't think that just because your gift is small that God can't use you because it's not very noticeable. Huh? You may start small, but you may end up in another place. Trust me, I'm a living witness of this. You start off small and you end up in another place. God sees faithfulness and goes, that one. Uh-huh. No, not the one with the mic. The other one, the one over there. That's handing out Kleenex. That's the one.
Thank you.
The usher. Huh? That's the one. The one that's setting up tables. That one. That one right there. Huh? Go out and find me seven good men full of the Holy Spirit. To serve! Woo, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that one. Huh? That's what they did. To serve. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. What do you see next? Now he's preaching. He's out there. You see what's happening? Okay? Full of the Holy Spirit. Huh? To just simply help. Look at David, who was watching sheep. Somebody got it over here. The youngest of all of Jesse's sons. Huh? Prophet Samuel comes and says, you know, listen, where are all your sons? Huh? The one that his father didn't even consider. That was the one that was the most anointed. Huh? Jesse kept saying, well, what about Junior? Samuel was like, nah.
Not that one.
Anyway, what about this one?
No.
Nah. This one's strong. What about this one? Do you have any more sons? Because everybody that you think impressive, God is not choosing. The one that you think is the most impressive, that's not the one God's looking at. The most visual one is not always the one. Do we have any helpers in this church today? What can I do, Pastor? Look around. What do you see? I'm telling you, it starts at this ground level. The ground level service. That's what's happening. Uh-huh. The ones that you think are impressive, not necessarily the ones. Just because me, Pastor Rick, and Dave got the mic now doesn't mean that eventually the person that cleaned the toilets won't have the mic later.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Right. We raise up little children. We're getting ready to disciple them very, very soon. We're coming up with a plan. Amen? So we teach our children the word of God on a daily basis. We're going to empower the parents. You don't know who those children will be. Will you be faithful in the home? In the church? Where nobody in the church may necessarily see what you're doing, will you be faithful?
Be faithful.
Are you increasing?
Yeah.
Or are you decreasing?
Help us.
This is a simple word. I just want to give this last scripture to you when done. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let a man, again, so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And I didn't notice this last time. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, this is in the context of preaching and teaching and representing Christ. And I told you before, we're not known as people that work for AT&T. That's not what God saved you for. You're blessed. You have eternal life so you can work at AT&T. That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's another gift that God's given you.
That's right.
Are you known for using that gift?
Nope.
Let it be known of us that this is what I do now. This is how I serve. No matter how big, no matter how small. Huh? Get the mess out of your life. Ask God to transform you.
Yeah.
So you can pick up a Kleenex box or something to do. Amen. I want to serve. Because I got things to do.
That's fine.
Huh? Quit fooling around with all that fornication and drinking and acting crazy and talking for crazy and get the gossip out your mouth so we can actually give you something to say. Oh. The Lord will give you something to say. Get that mouth off. Huh? What can I do, Pastor? How can I serve? Well, let's get in the right place so we can be used. There's something that God wants to do. Save this for a reason.
Yes.
Are we increasing? Or are we stepping back? I see a lot of you serving, and I'm grateful for that. We're going to need some more help. But something's coming. I know it.